Hello. Welcome to the KPFK Local Station Board Finance Committee meeting. Today is September 9th, and it's 3:05, and I'm going to take the roll. I am Kim Kaufman, and I'm the chair. Grace Aaron. Grace?
Here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Ken Aaron? I didn't hear him. Alan Beek?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Here.
Bella DeSoto? I don't hear her. Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser? I don't hear him. I am Kim Kaufman, Chair, Secretary, and I am here. Janine Roan? I do not hear her. Michael Novick?
Present.
Polina Vasiliev?
Right here.
And John Wenger? I do not hear him. We have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven, one, two, three, four. Well, that's what we need. I guess Barry Brooks.
Present.
Okay, that's where I got eight from. But we need seven for quorum. All right. Well, I guess you all got the agenda.
Yes.
Affirmative.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Any comments, amendments, changes? Okay. So I guess that's approved. You all got the minutes?
Very bare bone.
Yes. Pardon me?
I said very bare bone minutes.
Well, that's what they are. Just who was here and, you know, what motions we passed.
What's legally required?
Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Any changes? Any issues? Okay, I guess they're approved. Okay, so next on the agenda is, okay, I made a continuation meeting for next week just in case. Otherwise, our next regular meeting is October 14th. So I don't know what you want to do, but we can wait until the end of the meeting to decide that. Do we have any report from Barry? We did not get any written report.
No, I was busy doing the audit, trying to get the documents together for the fiscal year 2019 audit. I did revise the budget in which, relative to the meeting that we had last week with myself, Kim, Danielle, and Tamara Sadursky from NEDA. I got that completed, so I got it done at 2:30. So I didn't want to give it to you guys because it was too late. But I will give it to you at the end of the meeting, or maybe tomorrow, probably. Currently, our bank balance is at $71,988.16. We are on tap for funding our payroll for the September 15th payroll.
Could you repeat that balance again?
$71,988.16. Kim had brought up a notion of what insurance that KPFK had on the building. I talked to Tamara, and she said that we do have liability insurance through the Pacific Network Foundation, but we do not have earthquake insurance. We did get a valid insurance carrier, and that quote was at $7,232 for the year. So we're probably going to make our premium payment for that probably in October to have earthquake insurance on the building.
Go ahead.
Okay, I spoke with Allegiant this morning relative to the invoices that we've been receiving from them, and we have been receiving two invoices, one for the CRM monthly, which is the client relationship management invoice, and then also we've been receiving an invoice for training that we had in May with Terry and Donna. So I'm trying to get that consolidated to one invoice so we can pay it one invoice going forward. As you know, the Hurlitt Data Systems, which is the MIMSIS premium, will go away. The last payment will be November of this year. What else? How about that? Let's see. And at present, we are on tap for making all our AP payments for September. So looks okay for September so far. So, you know, as far as making it to the next fund drive, which will start on October 1st. And that's it for me.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Greetings, everybody. Thank you, Barry. Once this becomes a regular routine where we get an oral report from you, if somebody's making a lot of noise, they can mute themselves. We don't have an accounts payable report, which is why Kim keeps listing items that have or have not been covered, that should have been covered, that were not covered, et cetera, et cetera. And we continue not getting a monthly accounts payable aging report, a comprehensive accounts payable aging report, which really affects everything. You know that when you give us the figures for the bank, invariably by tomorrow, when you think you're going to be sending in reports to the committee, everything changes. Right? So the figures you give us today are no longer the same as tomorrow. They may be, but not necessarily. I heard you say that that KPFK did not have earthquake coverage. The last earthquake coverage vendor was Cruz and Associates. And their billing was signed October 6, 2015. The carrier is another carrier, Pacifica, and this was for Pacifica Inc. Foundation. And this would be covering earthquake, including EQSL and flood. And it's $331.60 per annual. So that's $77,763 per month. This was signed by Leslie Radford back in 2015. It should have continued. I also sent Kim copies. I scanned the billing and with a signature to you, Kim, last month. So if you have any comments on that. Barry.
As far as the carrier that Leslie Redford had commandeered with KPFK, I don't know anything about that particular carrier. I have never heard of that carrier either, so I don't know if that was handled through the national office or what, but.
Well, I'm sorry. I made a mistake, Barry. It was First Insurance. First Insurance, and the carrier is
Bella, it doesn't matter. Tamara has located a current earthquake insurance for us. It doesn't matter what Radford did or what happened 2 years ago or 5 years ago. Okay? It was suspended for the last year. We didn't have it. Tamara has found, a provider, and, you know, she said she was going to get us coverage. So we're done with that. Anybody else for the stack?
Fred.
Go ahead, Fred.
I have some questions around the P&L statement. I was asked a question last night at the NFC about utilities at the on Mount Wilson for the transmitter and why it was down by 56% from last year. I remember the Barry answering that question, I think, at one of the finance meetings, and I think my answer was wrong, but I'd like to get an updated answer on that. This is the Tower Utilities line 89 on the KPF campaign. Tower Utilities were actually, according to the P&L statement, they're up 57% to this year, $65,000 year to date versus FY19, $41,000. Kim said that you reported, Barry, that 3 months were we didn't pay for 3 months of utilities in FY19.
They're blank on the P&L, Fred. I don't have to say anything. They are blank.
They're not blank on my P&L.
Yeah, March, April, and May has $500, which might as well be blank. You know, from 2019, March and April are blank, and May has, you know, $500 in it. So those are virtually blank.
But Kim, I'm asking Barry for an explanation. Why are those months blank?
I just want to be clarity. Right. Okay.
Yeah, Fred, you asked me this about 6 months ago. It's the same thing. I don't know why you don't listen. I told you before that Southern California Edison gave us a credit, and we didn't have to pay for 3 months because of the program that they had us in. And then from there, we had to pay amount going forward. So that's why it wasn't paid for those 3 months.
Thank you. If it was written down in black and white, I wouldn't have to answer or ask the question. Okay. One of my questions is grant income for the budget. How can we have any – why do we have – hold on. I'm pulling up the grant. We have $4,100 a month in grant income listed on the budget for FY21. I'm surprised that we're having any grant income this year given the COVID epidemic. Can you explain where we're getting this grant income?
Because we do receive some grants sometimes from time to time.
I didn't understand that.
I said we do receive some grants from time to time throughout the year. So that's why I allocated, maybe $50,000 for our grant income. We do receive grant income sometimes.
Can you explain, is that, are those individuals or is that institutional grant money?
They're both.
You're non-specific of where this money is coming from. It's just grant income.
I'm not aware of specifically where it's coming from, but we do.
Could somebody please mute their microphone? It seems like they're fondling their headset. It's very difficult to hear here with all that noise. That's Bella DeSoto that's making the noise.
I just muted her.
I did too.
Her. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, Barry. So I was interested in the grant income. You can't be more specific than saying that we haven't heard where this. I haven't heard any names of where this money is coming from. I'm just curious. Is it because the grantor doesn't want their name mentioned?
That's true. Sometimes that does happen when they send us money and it becomes anonymous, where we don't know where it's coming from, but we do receive it. You're right. That's correct.
Okay. And I have the same comment as Kim on the website income. On the Allegiance reports that I've seen, Allegiance is reporting 9 to 10% of the income stream is from the website income, and this is like the income here that's listed as website income on the budget is $315,000 for the year. That's like three times almost three times what I would expect in website income, given the Allegiance numbers. So
that particular revenue stream has increased dramatically in the last 6 months. So we did try to allocate more money to website income because there are more people that are making contributions through their computers and other devices.
Well, why is that not showing up on the Allegiance reports then?
I don't know. Well, you know what? That's something you have to ask Terry because he's trying to get that put through, the reporting aspect of it, so he can pull from the various resources that make up website income. So he's in the process of doing that. Hopefully we can have that done by middle of October, probably. Hopefully.
Okay. I'm finished, Kim.
Anyone else?
Michael, right, yeah. A sec.
Yeah, Wenger to the queue.
Okay, go ahead, Michael, and then Wenger.
Yeah, in relation to either the website income or the listener support, do we have some idea about how much of that is coming in from sustainers? Is there a separate accounting of people who are becoming monthly sustainers and how much that amounts to?
We don't have that capability yet, but hopefully Allegiance will provide that.
Let me interject here, if you don't mind. I asked these questions Friday at our little meeting, and what Annielle and I said that we had heard for quite some time that the sustainers was about $20,000 a month. And Yale said, well, no, it's about $11,000, but some people pay monthly, some quarterly, some biannually, and some annually. So we can't really tell. And I said, well, why don't you look at 2019 for the year and, like, get back to us on that number, and we can go from there. And he said, oh, that's a good idea. So I thought Barry might have had an update on that information today, but apparently not. So we don't know any of this stuff. A lot of loosey-goosey numbers flying around.
Can I just do a quick follow-up?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. Yes.
I think if and when we can get that information, I think it would be interesting to see to what extent people who are sustainers are making additional contributions during fund drives, or are they just sustainers and therefore diminishing the fund drive income? I'd be curious to see if we can, you know, get that information out of Allegiance at some point.
I'd be happy if we could get any information at this point.
Could I interject here, Kim?
Yeah.
Could I interject here, Kim? We've been asking Terry Guy for the last 2 years and Manuel for actual sustainer numbers, and we haven't gotten anything.
I know.
The last MEMSIS report from FY18 had sustainer income at about $2,000 to $3,000 a month. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know, but I've been asking for a website breakdown ever since it first started appearing there over a year ago. So we haven't gotten that either. These are all just very loosey-goosey numbers that don't make me feel very comfortable. Anybody? Oh, Wenger, you're next.
Yeah, right. I read some of the documents, the email that I'd received to prepare for this meeting. And in there was an email exchange, and Anil added Terry to it, or maybe he was in it from the beginning. And Terry basically said that they're on the steep learning curve for Allegiance. And so they're doing as well as they can, given their position on the learning curve, which is they haven't learned it yet. Because apparently there's some complexity to it. And then to that, I'd like to recall that Ken Aaron talked to me and suggested directly to Anil that he and I and perhaps some others help out with the studying of that software, because, frankly, software people have a different set of skills than fund drive people. Terry does a good job for what he knows how to do. And Anil said, no, we got it under control. We've done our training, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, sure, the training is for people who aren't software guys. Software guys can come in there and do it. He just basically said, we don't need your help, and kept us out of it. And I think Ken and I could get in there probably in a couple of afternoons and get this thing figured out and then teach Terry how to do it. I think there's an opportunity here. I think that Anil, well, as of yet, has not been persuaded that a couple of the listeners on this fine, or listeners and board members on this committee, could help him. And I think it's a shame, because it's an opportunity being lost. I'm done.
Can I make a suggestion to that? I see Ken is on the line. That you and Ken make a formal request of Anil to be able to look at it, get a login number, and be able to look at it. Wenger and Ken, can you do that?
I can't speak for Ken, but I could do it. Yeah. I could do it. Yeah.
Ken?
Ken and I can certainly talk about it.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that we're at a very bad spot where we're not getting any critical information, and it's really hurting this budget process, if nothing else. I don't think you need something formal from the Finance Committee, unless we want to do it, you know, at the end we can put something together.
Let's try it informally and see how it works, and we'll get back to you, and you can do something more formally if we need to. But if it's going to happen, it'll probably happen easily. If it's not going to happen, it'll be go over their dead bodies. So,
anybody else? Okay, well, go ahead, Alan.
Well, I don't think that the budget is very important, because it doesn't influence anything real. It simply is a guess at what's going to happen. I think it's much more important to keep track of actual spending and to have our actual reports of what goes on, that's much more important to know what's really happening, and then we may be able to do something to control it if it's wrong. But who cares what it says in the budget? Nobody is ruled by the budget. It doesn't limit our spending in any way.
John, to the queue.
Well, okay, then I want to go. Go ahead.
Alan, the point is, I agree with you. The budget is a planning document. And I think we all agree that what we really need is good data. And we're talking now about getting the data from the sustainers, et cetera. If KPFK can get this Allegiant system going, and if it's worth a darn, then we'll have the data, the inputs, you know, the revenues, the expenditures, we'll have all the data. So that's the key thing. The rate limiting step right now is Terry Guy, a non-software guy, is trying to learn some software, which probably has got a crappy user interface. So we should try to help them and get them going. Once they can do it easily, they're going to stop objecting to and saying that it's impossible, or we'll do it in a few months. So the data are more important than the budget. But we need the data to even make a budget, and that's that point. I'm done.
Fred for the stack.
Ken to the stack, when appropriate.
Okay, I'll wait, because I'm going to be doing something different. Fred, then Ken. Or let me, Ken first, because he hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, yeah, what I just realized in this little discussion about running the reports, it would be far better for somebody outside of the fundraising or membership department to run the reports, because it just gives you better oversight if you have an external source monitoring the activity. So it would be much better if somebody from another department, certainly just volunteers from the LSB, would be better for coming up with an analysis of what's happening in membership and fundraising by running the Allegiant report. In other words, for years we have don't upset Terry because he's just overloaded with this running a fund drive. And he's doing a great job and all of that. And so you can never get data out of them at your own request. It's better to have it run outside rather than relying on the reports coming from the body that you're trying to find out about. So John and I will make an appeal to Aniel again, and we'll try to get access. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Fred?
Yeah, are we in the budget section of the agenda at this point?
Well, no, because we don't have a budget. It's a little disturbing to know that Barry did make a new budget, but he didn't think to give it to us for this meeting, when what we're really doing is trying to get a budget before the beginning of the fiscal year, which is in 3 weeks.
Thank you for the long explanation.
I'm thinking maybe Barry should send that to us right now.
Kim, what did you send out today? You sent out a budget.
Budget from Friday. It was the budget from Friday. It was the latest draft I had. It was the budget that they gave me before the meeting on Friday. And, I sent it to you along with my comments on that budget. So now Barry tells us in the beginning of our meeting, oh, I have a new budget, but I didn't send it to you. So we're sort of like, that's sort of the main event is okay. To move this budget along.
Okay. Do I have the floor?
So I don't know what people want to do here. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I sort of agree with Ken on his objective to get outside people to help run these numbers so that we can have more confidence in them. It's always also obvious that management doesn't want us in there. And that's the reality. They don't want us poking around. Looking at the budget that Kim sent out today, one of the obvious facts is from the budget, big numbers is that it's running a deficit of almost 800. This latest budget is almost getting closer to reality. I just wanted to state that to Kim. But the biggest obvious fact here is if you look at the profit and loss, it's running a deficit of $800,000. That's almost $1 million. And this has cuts to payroll, the cuts that annual wants, not necessarily what the P&B wants. So even though this is a more realistic budget, it's still $800,000 in deficit. And I think I want to leave it at that point. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but we don't know what this new budget is. So, it's
not
their
that
problem.
Much of a change, Kim.
Well,
the new budget has a loss of about that amount.
Didn't hear that.
Well, don't you? Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, the new budget is not much variation from what Kim had on Friday. It's about $800,000 still. I readjusted the listener support revenue stream to reflect 6 fund drives for the year. So.
Well, one of the biggest problems, other than the obvious deficit, is the fact that the listener support is seriously problematic. So that would be one of the things that I think we'd like to see. It seems kind of silly working on an old budget. Doesn't everybody think so? I certainly do. But one of my biggest concerns is the listener support is not making sense. Now, one thing to understand is the formula for listener support includes website income. That is in the formula. So Barry keeps making 2 numbers for these, which inflates what the numbers should be. Now, I'm willing to add something if we can ever find out a sustainer number, but we don't have that number. So these are just sort of fantasy numbers as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what they are now, but, at some point we really need to see it. And I don't know what everybody's going to do. We got $800,000, in a deficit. And basically, the revisions that I have consistently, asked for are, for the most part, for the very, very most part, not optional. I mean, you can't cut the utilities to the tower. You can't cut the utilities to the office. Now, based on the fact that Barry sent us some kind of an AP after the last meeting saying, oh, whoops, I forgot these 4 TechSoup invoices for the year. I put in my memo, that you have to add that amount to the computer maintenance line item. I don't know, what was that, about $8,000? So, if you're paying $2,000 every month for something to make the computers run, the radio station, well, that has to be included in the budget. So there's not a whole lot off the expenses that can be cut. I still have a problem, like I said, with listener support. So it could be more, it could be less. I don't know, but we're sort of in this standstill over a budget now. And I want to hear from the group what y'all want to do.
Alan Beek on the stack.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, within the last week, I sent to all of you a budget which is actually balanced, has a realistic revenue of only $1.2 million, and it pays off a bit of, it pays our share of the interest on the big loan, and it balances, and it has all these things cut as has to be done to make it balance. And if we would adopt that budget, require that we live by it, we would do pretty well. But to live by it, we have to have a lot of layoffs and reduce the personnel expense a great deal, about 35%. And until we require that to be done, we aren't going to have a balanced budget. We are going to have a deficit, and we won't be able to endure it. And I think that if we actually start insisting on making those cuts that are necessary to have a balance, that will be something constructive to do. I don't think it's worth it to spend more time on the budget. National is scheduled to be adopting a national budget right now. They're just these days, their committees are settling on what's going to be the national budget, and they'll tell us the things that they have determined that we will somewhat be limited by. And once we get that, I think then we can go to work on making a final budget if we're anxious to have a budget that we stick to. The important thing is to stick to it. I think that the most important thing, this most constructive thing this committee can do is to prepare a manual or a chart, a diagram, a flow chart that shows the flow of money within the bookkeeping of KPFK, something that shows what happens to money from the post office to the bank to the allegiance. There are lots of different paths. It's probably as complicated as the flow system of the blood through the human body. But if we could get a diagram that shows where things are going, then it would be possible for us to understand what we're getting in our profit and loss statements. And I think that would be the thing for this committee to work on, is preparing that flow chart.
Anybody else?
Bella, to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I fully agree with Alan. The flow chart he's referring to is who handles what, at what stage, when the monies are received. They could be received at A, B, C, D. Who gets that? Where does it go by the time it gets to the bank? And how does it get recorded? Now, I have a knowledgeable flow chart. How it works, because I worked at the station. So I know I have a pretty good understanding of that. But beyond that, beyond what Alan is suggesting, is that the budget will be then delegated from National, which is something that should have been done, by the way, a long time ago. Right now, we need to straighten out how the expenses are going, are getting recorded, and many of the expenditures are getting recorded in the wrong space, in the wrong categories, which makes a lot of work for us at this committee. So if we concentrate on straightening out the lineup of the chart of accounts, then I think we can get to the bottom line where the allocations are going into. And that's a major mess. And again, we need an accounts payable aging report.
Okay, okay. Anybody else, please? please, on this budget, we're talking about this budget.
This is Paulina.
I had Paulina.
So I don't understand the idea that the budget will somehow come down from national. My understanding was that in order for for national to even have a budget, they need budgets from all units, and those have to be made locally. And there's a timeline proposed, and we're trying to stick to it, right? But we need to work locally. I mean, that's the GMs and business managers are supposed to do it with the assistance of the local finance committees. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I will. I mean, you basically have a right. The budget should come from the local here. National has to make their own budget. They don't have to wait for the stations. Lydia needs to make that budget and find out how much is in that budget and how much national needs, and then to look at the central services. I mean, they're not getting a majority of what their budget says they're getting. So national needs to make up a realistic budget based on what they're actually getting. So that needs to happen. And it's possible that central services can be adjusted downwards. I don't know, but that's the missing part there as far as I'm concerned. But National is not going to National could hand down a budget to KPFK, but it's not going to be a real budget. It's not going to be a good budget. I mean, nobody can make a budget except for us here, because National doesn't know nearly as much as we do here. But Barry, can you please send us the latest draft? Just please send it to us. Let's just start with that.
Fred to the stack.
Barry?
Yeah.
Can you please send us this draft budget?
Yeah, Barry, right now. We need to look at it in this meeting right now.
Okay, let me send it over then. Hold on.
There's no point looking at
Alan. Alan, you're on your track with your budget. We're on our track with this budget that we are working on. We are not going to adopt your budget. It is not realistic, and it's not based on realistic. The budget that we're working on is the budget that we are working on. Please let us work on the budget that we at hand. These are real
Alan.
Numbers.
Stack.
Fred for the stack.
Okay. Alan, but make it short, please.
I sent you a budget which is balanced and is realistic. We could live with.
No, it is not,
Alan.
Alan,
you cannot make a budget. Alan, you're not management.
It's not realistic budget. It is not realistic, Alan. Please. We are working on the budget that we're working on. Please do not.
You're working on is good. No point working on.
Okay, Alan. Please. We have to get through this, and I want to make this meeting short. So I'm not taking any more objections to the budget that we're working on. Who is next?
Fred.
I heard a couple
Fred.
Of people who want
Fred.
To talk. Fred and who else?
Michael Novick.
Fred. I think I heard Michael first. I don't care. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I was trying to, there's a problem here with Alan, and that's both, Alan doesn't recognize the boundaries between governance and management.
Okay.
Only management. Well, management,
we
only management can make the budgets.
I understand, Fred. We understand
and,
that.
Let me finish. Unfortunately, last night at the AMC, we never got to budgets or the our central services.
I heard,
And that's it's unfortunate. But for the National Finance Committee, we need to get budgets from all eight financial units and integrate those to one consolidated budget. And the only way that that can be done is the budgets come up from the stations, after review by the local station boards up to the NFC to be looked at and then integrated. So.
Right. Okay, Fred. Thank you. Yes. Michael Novick.
Yeah, so I, on the question of central services, you know, it's gone back and forth. And, you know, I think what you're saying, Kim, is correct, that the national office should put forward a budget for the national office that the central services may be based on. If you do it the other way around, there's a tendency for the national office to try to spend what is theoretically going to be available under the old formulas. I think it's better to have the national office define a budget. The problem with that, however, is that we can anticipate at some point during this upcoming fiscal year that we'll be, you know, paying someone as executive director as opposed to Lydia Bazon serving for no charge as interim executive director. So I think that it's a little iffy what the budget is going to be, depending on when that position is filled and how much, you know. But I think that the national office should project something that the central services for each station can be based on. You know, the formulas are out of date because all the memberships have changed. The amount of money that comes into listener support is so reduced. So I think that starting with what the anticipated reasonable expenses of the national office will be is the place to start with that, as opposed to the other way around.
Yes, exactly. Except for, I mean, basically, whether there's a paid ED or not, I mean, that's a difference like 100 and change. So you make a budget, and it's like it could be this or it could be that. You know what I mean? That's not enough reason not to make a budget. That's okay, it's either going to be this or it's going to be that. At the six-month period, it could be this, it could be that. There isn't a big spread in those numbers. We sort of know what they're going to be. So you do everything else, and you have a starting point. But look, it is the middle of September. The NFC has done nothing. Not one budget has gone up there. In 5 years, the NFC or the PNB has approved zero budgets. So, you know, relatively, we can just keep moving along and do nothing. But I don't think that's not what I'm used to or what I'd like to see.
That's not correct, Kim. The NFC got reports last night that two budgets are almost ready to be presented to it.
Okay, but they're not there yet, you know? Okay, it's the middle of
the stations are working on them. Stations
well,
are...
you know, okay. Fine, Fred. You know, it is, you know, the fiscal year starts in 3 weeks. So, Barry, I haven't received the budget yet.
Okay, I sent it over, Kim.
I'm sending it out to everyone. Well, what does the group want to do? Wait for this to come and take a look at it and have Barry explain to us what the changes are?
Yes.
We can do that.
Barry, I did not get my copy.
No,
it's
I'm
faster if you send it to everybody. Okay, that's
out.
All good. But everything, you know, if we work directly instead of going through step, through step, through step, every step you go through slows things down. If you want to keep on having it take this long, then don't change your processes and always go through all these steps, these time-consuming steps. It's very frustrating to have to go through this each time. It takes time for the mail to go through. You said you wanted a shorter meeting. So do I. I'm done.
Kim, I got Barry's email.
Well, I don't even know what to say about this fund drive chart. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just gibberish. I mean, you can't make a fund drive chart with 1 month you're having $23,000, you know, per day, and the next fund drive you're having $7,000 per day. I mean, you know, this is not the way to do this.
That is reflective of the COVID crisis that we're in today.
Okay?
You're not going to have a large amount of average daily collection. It's going to vary all over the place because of the COVID-19.
No, that's not the way we do a fund drive chart, Barry. It is not. I've tried to explain this to you for 4 years.
But this is unprecedented times, okay?
No, it's not.
We're in quarantine, okay?
Okay.
That's what's affecting our flow, our cash flow now.
No, it's not, Barry.
Everybody's at home. It is.
Okay, I don't see it like that.
The morning drive, we don't have people that are listening to the station that are coming in on the morning drive.
Mm-hmm.
That affects revenue.
Okay. I we understand that. Take a look at, you know, when you get it, take a look at this fund drive chart. It's not acceptable to me, and I'm not, you know.
You wanted six fund drives for the year. That's what you wanted. Michael Novick, can you take a look at this? This doesn't comport with anything. That's because this is unparalleled. This is not going to be your normal fund drive chart. It's not going to be like it used to be in the past.
How do you know what a normal fund drive chart is, Barry? You've never made one in four budgets.
A normal fund drive chart reflects an average daily collection of between $18,000 and $21,000 a day.
No,
that's what a normal fund drive chart is.
Yes, no, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Can I explain what I think you're trying to
get
at?
No, we've explained it all multiple times, and I'm not doing it again.
Well, the fund drive chart is basically ass backwards. You're calculating the daily average based on the goal and the number of days, not on what historical daily averages you've been getting lately.
I don't agree with you.
Well, yeah, okay.
The average daily goal for the October fund drive is $16,964, which is a little high, but maybe we'll do better in October. October was always our best.
But the last three fund drives, you've done 14,000 a day average.
The motion, Barry, from this committee, based on years of experience here, is that we estimated an average of $15,000 per day for the year. Okay? That's what we said is reasonable.
That's about right. The first three fund drives are like 16, 16, 15, 7,000, and 23. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect science. A budget is not perfect science, okay? It doesn't work that way because of the formulas and because of quarantine and all that. Okay?
Barry, I don't
know
think
what?
You ought
another
to be
thing,
telling
another,
me
wait, wait,
how budgets
wait a minute,
work.
Kim. Another thing I want to say to you is that if you bring down your average daily goal, your net profit is just going to balloon almost to $1 million. In addition to that, you want to cut back the personnel, but we don't even have money to pay their pension and vacation time if we lay them off. Where's the money going to come from for that? We're barely making payroll. So I'd like to know how in the heck are you going to balance a budget when you're constantly cutting revenue and you're trying to put on all the expenses that we pay at KPFK? There's no way in the world you're going to have a balanced budget. No way in the world, in this world. Maybe on Mars somewhere, but not here.
There's no point in me responding to that. Does anybody else want to speak on this? Clearly we're going to reject this budget.
Alan, take to the stack.
No, Alan. Nope. Sorry. Somebody else. I'm not listening to, you know, that this, our, what we're doing is bad. No. I mean, unless you can speak directly to what we are looking at, Alan, I'm not taking, you know, lectures on how to make a budget.
Am I permitted to speak?
No. Are you going to speak to the budget that we're looking at right now? If not, no. And same with Bella. If you cannot speak directly to this budget, this is off topic for what we need to discuss right now.
My topic is that my battery is running flat, so I'm going to get off the call because you won't listen to anything I say.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Alan. I'm sorry, people, but this is crazy.
This is Mike Mother on the fund line chart.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm looking at the chart that you just forwarded. I assume this is what Barry sent you, and you just sent ahead to us. So it's got.
Yeah.
It's showing 28 days in October, 17 days in December, 26 days, which is basically the entire month of February. And then it shows April and May, 27 days in April, and then another 15 days in May.
And then 15 in July, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't seem that sensible to me to try to have 42 days practically in a row of fund drives between, you know, April 4th and June 3rd, it looks like.
Well, typically we have had fund drives in April. Okay. And then sometimes we have a mini fund drive in May. It's not a full fund drive. It's like a mini fund drive.
Yeah. But I think that's why we've been steadily declining in the receipts of the fund drives is there are too many that are too close together. There's not enough time to prepare. I mean, Aniel said several times that he wishes he had more time between fund drives to, you know, train more people up to pitching effectively with their own shows. So, you know, we had suggested, you know, basically sort of six drives of about 21 days apiece spread out pretty evenly through the year. And I think having 42 days of fund drive within 2.5 months is, you know, not wise. I think it would be better if we did, you know, April, June, and August or something like that. If, I don't know, whatever it's worth, that would be my...
Well, the July fund drive ends on August the 12th. So that is August.
Oh, I see. You're starting it late. It starts at July 28th and goes into August, middle of August. So, yeah, I don't know what to say. I just, you know...
I'm more concerned about the uneven per day averages. So that's what I find most problematic.
I mean, I'm going to let everyone know that's in the finance committee that I have worked very hard to try to get this budget to correspond to your likeness, that, you know, what you want. But what you're dealing with is a situation where the revenue is just not being produced. The programming is not creative enough to attract new listeners. I mean, you're dealing with a quagmire. I mean, it's just difficult. You want to break down and reduce the average daily goal, and that's just going to balloon your net profit at the end of the year. So, I mean, I can do that. I can do whatever you want. I mean, I can make it work like you want it. You know, bring down the average daily goal to 9,000. But then you're going to have a net profit loss of about $900,000 to $1 million. Okay? I'm just trying to tell you what's going on.
Barry, let me tell you, we have made the average per day goal at $15,000 because that is historically what has been happening. We don't think you're going to get $23,000 per day, and nor do we really hope that you're not going to be down to $7,500 a day. Okay?
But that is the crux of a budget, Kim.
Yeah, that's your opinion of how to make a budget.
Just like Alan was saying, that is just a snapshot of what you think is going to work or perform in the future. If you have an overestimate, you can readjust it as you go along in the year.
I understand, Barry.
We didn't do that well, so we readjust the budget.
Right, I understand.
That's how a budget works.
Right. Please don't tell me how a budget works, Barry. Please. This is not, I'm not the right person to play that with. So what do we want to do here, people? This is kind of a no-go. I don't know where we're going to go with this discussion.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Only if you can deal with this issue, Bella.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Adding the days, the number of days on this fund drive chart is 191 days, not 100 days.
No, it's not. No, it's not, Bella. You're adding partly of 2019, FY20 in there. You have to start on line 12.
I went from line 7 to line 23.
Right. You have to start on line 12. Okay? That's the fiscal year 20.
Oh, so it doesn't say that at the top. So only for fiscal year is, okay.
Right. It comes to 128 days for the year.
Got it. Okay. So that's only fiscal year 19. Okay.
So fiscal year 2021 starts on line 12. The previous is 20.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. But that doesn't really change the numbers for listener support. I don't know. I mean, you can't... as I've said, the hard expenses are the hard expenses. You know, you can't get blood from a stone with our on-air, fund drives anymore. That sort of ended.
I have a suggestion, Ken Aaron.
Go ahead, Ken.
Furlough the board ops and the producers. And let the hosts produce and board off their own shows. There may be exceptions, but that should be the general rule, especially if they're paid. Well, no, everybody, volunteer and everybody. We just got to cut the payroll in half. That's the beginning. And stop the pretense that we're going to get money from the government or something. Just cut out the board ops, let the host board off, and let the host produce the show, make his own phone calls or whatever he has to do. That's all.
Well, I just want to say, Ken, that the board ops is not a place you can cut right now because there's nobody in the station. They have to run all of the off-site programs, unfortunately. So that's really sort of not an option, the next step is, Annielle wants to get this automatic programming where we don't have any board ops and it's just like a robot speaking, which I think is death. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so I had a comment on that. I think what Ken is talking about is that the full-time programmers who are paid as producers of their shows, but there's also there's another producer for every one of those shows that's also paid to produce the same show. I don't think it's so much about the board, it's about the producers.
I don't think there's more than one producer per show. I'm not aware of that.
Well, I'm saying the host is paid as a producer.
Oh, okay.
The host
okay.
isn't paid to be a host. The host is paid as a member of the production department.
Okay.
As a producer. And then there's somebody else also producing the show with them. So I think that that's a place that we could potentially economize. In relation to that, I had a question for Barry. I'm trying to compare the fund drive pledge chart and the budget proposal. And the numbers don't seem to correspond very much between the anticipated income on the fund drives and what's listed as listed support for 2021. I don't know if that's because the money is prorated over a couple of months or it used to be that if you use the fund drive tab on the budget template, it kind of automatically filled in the instances. I don't know if that's still happening.
No, it's not. It's clearly not. Well, when do you have an LSB meeting? I mean, does that matter? I mean, you can't take this to the LSB. I mean, well.
I want to mention one of the things. I sent people a link to a webinar from the Center for Nonprofit Management talking about the importance of your budget in terms of fundraising, because if you are trying to get some grants, they look at your budget, and there's a budget narrative they'd like to see. So I think that's something in the future that we should think about. This Alan's not on anymore, but he kept saying a budget is not important, but a budget is actually very important, not only for your own planning, but for the prospect of being able to convince funders and grant writers that you have, you know, a need that they're, you know,
yeah, of course,
they can validate and fill. So
right.
People can be aware of that.
Right. I will tell again my story from 2011 or 2012 or whenever I was treasurer, and we had a very good budget and we had very good monthly financials. And at some point around February, March, I told the GM at the time, if you don't do something different in the second half of the year, you're going to run out of cash in July. And, of course, he ran out of cash in July. So, yes, having a good budget and having good monthly financials that you actually review is the way to, you know, fiscal management.
Yeah, Michael, is that again the budget motion from the LSB, which I think was also in the original Finance Committee motion, was that every 2 months there'd be a review to see how close the actual income is to the projected income, and if there's a shortfall, there has to be a change in the expenses to not, you know, break the bank.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wouldn't even do that 2 months. I would do it. I mean, the minute you get a P&L. You know, I'm going to look at it. I don't know if anybody else would, but I'll certainly be looking at it every time we get a P&L. So, I mean, that's, you know, we're too close to the edge not to do that. But that doesn't help us now. Go ahead, Ken.
Grace, want to say something? Because she hasn't spoken yet.
Well, she's the one that's, you know, we're going to have to sell our building, you know, flag. So, you know,
okay,
let's hear from Grace.
Okay, but let me just say one thing.
Yeah.
They're looking at the budget.
Wait a second here. I don't mind
being quoted,
but I don't want to be misquoted. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So may I speak?
Yes, please.
Okay. I never suggested that we sell our building. That is a suggestion that's been floated by two people. One, Annual Fields, suggested it as an option in one of his reports.
Grace, let me just interrupt you because that's not what I said. I said
okay,
you're the one
you
that's
say?
Saying You're the one that's repeatedly saying, if we don't make cuts, we're going to have to sell our building, and we don't want to do that. But you're the one that's raising this big, you know, scary story. So here we are. We're in a quagmire, and you're, you know, this motion, you know, you passed this motion months ago. And so I'm, you know, I would think you'd want to have something to say about where we're at with this current budget.
Well, the budget is completely inadequate. However, the National Board mandated a 30% reduction in expenses because there is no credible proposed improvement in revenue. In fact, we can predict that revenue will be declining, as it has been for the last few months. So the cuts, most of the cuts need to be made in, unfortunately, in payroll, because that's the place where there's the most ability to cut. Most of the expenses, non-payroll expenses, are fixed. There is some room for some decreases, but the burden is going to be mainly, or the cuts are mainly going to be have to occur in payroll.
Okay, well, that doesn't help us now, but I just want to point out something that year to date 2019, adding up what's in there for listener support and website income, okay, is 2.415. 2020, year to date, adding up the listener support and the website income that is in there is 2.40. It's a difference of about $15,000. No, $30,000. So this great decline in our listener support, I'm not seeing. It certainly hasn't gotten better, and there are more fund drive days this year, but this big decline that, you know, has been waved around is not, you know, substantiated by the actual numbers.
Kim, I need line numbers to follow.
Let me ask a question about that then. Okay. First of all, we are not seeing the bequest income that we saw last year.
Of course not.
Okay.
So I mean, that's over half a million dollars, Grace. Of course.
Okay.
Of course not. But don't conflate that with
okay,
with
I'm
support.
Not. I'm not finished, Kim. I'm not finished. Can I just make my point?
Go ahead.
Okay. As has been noted, there has been a decrease in the daily fund drive totals. That's evident.
Not really.
Okay. So. The first 6 months of the fiscal year 2019, the average daily fund drive total is the same as fiscal year 20, and the fund number of fund drive days were the same?
No, I have said repeatedly that the fund drive days increased this year. What happened is, the expenses were not cut last year when you got over $500,000. That's why we're in this jam now, because the expenses kept ballooning when you were getting free money.
Okay, I don't understand the last sentence. Say it, repeat it again.
The expenses ballooned while you were getting unanticipated bequest money. Now, it is true that it wasn't properly accounted for, and even though I said this for over a year, it still is not properly accounted for, but in fact, the total is $550,000 in bequests from last year. Anyways, Ken Aaron wanted to be on the Ken Aaron, I interrupted Ken, so go ahead, Ken. Ken?
Kim, well, meanwhile, while we wait for Ken, when you talk about these numbers, could you please give the line numbers and column numbers in the spreadsheet so we can follow along? It's extremely hard to do all this into my mind without having figured.
I did this math before the meeting. Listener support is on line one. It's the first line. The website income is on line two. I sent the P&Ls to everybody. Just take a look at the P&L. I added them up before the meeting, okay, to look at them myself.
So just when you start on a thing, name the document so I can switch to it. I have them all on my computer.
Okay.
I was looking at the budget, but you just assume we know which document you're talking about, and it's very hard to follow. The way to do it is to say, go to this document, then line this and column that, and that's the way we can follow.
Okay, no. Well, I refer to the P&Ls, the listener support and the website income, which are the first two lines on the P&Ls, okay? And the year-to-date totals are there. The totals in the 2019 are year-to-date.
I see them now, and it would have been really helpful to have had that information before you started to talk.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Ken, I see you on there.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, I wasn't speaking. Grace was speaking.
No, but you were on the stack before that.
Okay, well, looking at the budget, there's obviously like it's 800,000 south, but 500,000 of that is central services. And that's an internal administrative fee. Which is, we're not going to go to jail or be dunned. I know we should pay it, and I know I'm well aware of all the services provided by the national office, theoretically. I mean, that's really, when it comes down to it, we're going to need forbearance on that. Pay what we can, if we can. And it brings it down to 300,000. I think the only realistic thing to do is make modifications, present it at be presented at the next LSB meeting or whatever, and get in the budget that's approved by the LSB. It may not be a net gain or positive or zero, may be negative, but we've got to cut it down. We don't want to be $800,000 on the budget. So, but looking at the facts, 500,000 to the national office and central services is questionable. It's not realistic. Unless we cut the staff, like I was saying, sit down to bare bones and maybe cut the paid programmers down too. It's mostly staff, and it isn't just salaries. It's benefits when that adds up too, which is listed. So child care, health care, all of these different things. And in regards to what the business manager said about, oh my God, if we fire people or lay them off or furlough them or whatever we do, we may wind up paying settlement fees. Okay. Even if we have to borrow the money from a loan shark, it's going to be less expensive keeping them on the payroll within a year. 1 year's cost of maintaining an employee is probably three times more than any kind of severance pay they're going to get. So, whatever you have to do to pony up the severance, that's fine. And also, I think most cordially, you could get those people who are furloughed or laid off and who are getting a severance to agree to take it on a payment plan rather than a lump sum. So severance is an unfortunate thing, and we're in unfortunate times, but it is what it is. So we've got to do what we've got to do. And I think whatever we come up, but I mean, I don't know, maybe Kim, somebody's got to do the hard work. And it's not real. I don't really think it's come out of a committee. The hard work of cutting it, saying, well, we're cutting this, we're cutting that, because the general manager and the business manager haven't been positive enough to come in and saying, well, we're going to go from 22 phones to 5 phones. I'm getting rid of all of the cell phones. turning the lights out or during the day, you know, renting the building out to somebody who's making masks for COVID-19 or something. You know, it's going to be hard news. It's going to be a hard thing. Otherwise, we're going to go building up debt and, you know, waiting for Mr. Gottbucks to arrive with a lot of cash. I hope he does, but, you know, I don't see it.
John in the queue.
Fred for the queue.
I'm just making comments. I think I'm just making comments, but I think it would be responsible enough for us to present something to the LSB and say, we've got three options here in terms of chopping up the budget that was presented us for the general manager. So, like, just three options, A, B, C. And which one does the LSB want to go with? And then we'll turn that budget into the NFC.
John in the queue.
This is Grace.
Okay,
Fred.
John.
Fred here.
Kurt.
Michael
Novick is next.
Yeah, so to go back to the part of the conversation we're having with Grace, Kim, you were the person who, more than anyone else, has pointed out that the, in a sense, the list of support that has stayed level is inaccurate because it doesn't take into account the fact that there's been an increase in fund drive days. So
right.
Increasing number of fund drive days and the reduction in daily income from the fund drives are reciprocal realities. The more days you have, the less money you make per day because you burn your listeners out. So we've been living not within our means for a long time. And some of it is exchange expenses, but most of it, as Ken said, is payroll. I think that, you know, again, you know, in terms of what Barry is saying, the budget has to be cut so that anticipated, historically provable anticipated revenues are not exceeded by our expenses. And I think the places to cut are some of the things that have been pointed out that might be unnecessary in terms of the likelihood of any return on them. So, for example, that's community events. There's no point in spending money on community events when you lose money on community events. Beyond that, I think we have to cut from management. I think that's the first cut that has to be made, is we have to reduce either the pay or the number of management positions or both. We need to eliminate all the consultants similar non-regular staff expenses. And then you look at, you know, what are the absolutely essential cuts that can be made in the rest of the payroll that, you know, will do the least harm to the station. So the manager then has to do that and come up with, you know, the two sides of the equation. It still hasn't happened. You know, I think that that's still got to be forthcoming from someone in management along the lines of what Ken suggested. So, but I do think that we should prioritize in that order, eliminating, you know, non-essential expenses for non-personnel matters, trimming the, you know, management and administrative expenses the maximum amount possible. And then beginning to look at, you know, payroll reductions beyond the question of consultants and whatever, they use some other term also for it. Travel, I think, needs to be cut. The phone service, you know, that is providing phones for staff members needs to be cut. And then, you know, we'll see if we can live within our means. The, you know, 2 years ago, or last year, I should say, you know, we were bailed out by the bequest. This year, we were bailed out by the PPP money, but we're not, you know, our operating expenses are exceeding our operating income, and it's unsupportable. So, you know, the PNB has a proposal fairly similar to what the LSB then adopted here, and the management has to come up with a budget within those parameters. It's not that mysterious.
Fred for the stack.
This is Dave. And Dave.
Yeah, I just want to say, Michael, I'm not unmindful of the increased fund drive days. I've said that to death. I'm just I just mentioned that the numbers were similar to last year to this. So saying, oh, our listener support has declined by blah, 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 is false because, you know, there's this new, nobody's really including the website income, which is listener support and has always just been in line one. I was just making, you know, I was just comparing apples to apples. And the fund drive days, you know, I've been talking about for 10 years. Okay.
Yeah,
I am.
Fred?
Yeah. Okay. I heard Dave. Dave hasn't spoken yet, so I'm going to put him first. Then I have Wenger, okay. Fred, and Grace.
I just wanted to put add a little something to what Ken said.
Wait. Fred, I said Dave is next on the stack.
Yes, I heard.
And then John is.
Right, and then Fred.
I just wanted to, this is Dave, I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what Michael Novick said, and I wanted to express kind of an amazement that management doesn't seem to get the idea that if expenses have ballooned past our revenue, then we need to cut expenses. And if they've overspent in the last 2 years, which they clearly have, this general manager has never paid any attention to a budget. Of course, Alan doesn't think you need to. And we've just spent more money than what we had coming in. Even if the revenue had remained steady, we are spending more money than what the revenue coming in can afford it. Now, we should have modified our behavior and made changes back in January, but we didn't. We should have modified our behavior and made changes back in March, April, and May, but we didn't. And so now we're faced at a point where the only real expense that would have the greatest impact if we were able to cut expenses is on the payroll. This is something Michael Novick has been saying all along. And, I mean, it wouldn't take a lot of imagination to understand that you'd have to talk to SAG-AFTRA and put maybe some of the SAG-AFTRA people on, 50% hours and 50% pay. Also management. Maybe we can't afford a full-time professional program director. Maybe we can't afford a full-time general manager. Maybe these people need to be put on part-time. Maybe we need to turn the transmitter off at midnight and not turn it back on until 5:30 for the 6 o'clock show in the morning. And that would eliminate a payroll and an expense bill from the power. And our programmer that's in overnight, he could shift to 10 o'clock at night, and then he could be there till midnight or 12:30 and then say goodnight and turn off the machine and walk up the building. That we could do a lot of different things. On the call service, we're paying to have a call service where we know that the station during COVID has had the receptionist handling all the phone calls from home. Well, that means that we could easily put together a core group of dedicated volunteers, much like the people on this committee, that would volunteer time to answer KPFK fund drive phone calls from their house. The technology is there. It's pretty straightforward. But the problem we have here is that we haven't had any kind of innovative ideas proposed by this current management. All they want to do is just hope that a big bequest falls on their lap like what's happened in the past. I mean, it's management by the seat of the pants in the worst kind of way. And so I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what Kim said. I mean, the revenue hasn't been too bad, but our expenses have ballooned. And at this point, since we've waited too long before we've made any changes, we need to unfortunately make some pretty radical changes at this point, and we need to do it as soon as possible. And I mean, like, right now, today, tomorrow. And the other thing is I wouldn't have this general manager negotiate with the union by himself under any circumstances whatsoever. He doesn't seem to understand that his interests are in the radio station and Pacifica, and I'm afraid, and I hate to say it so cruelly and so harshly, but he has to step back and be separated from the staff, and he's going to have to make some very tough decisions. And if he's not willing to do that and to act in a truly management role, then I'm afraid he maybe needs to find a different occupation or work someplace else or have a different job at the station. Anyway, so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm ready.
Okay, Wenger's next. Go ahead.
A couple of things. First, I agree almost entirely with the last three speakers. I certainly agree strongly with Ken and strongly with Michael and almost entirely with Dave as well. It's clear that Aniel has not done what we've asked him to do and what the LSV has asked him to do and the PNB has asked him to do, and that's to produce a budget with a 30% decrease in expenses. And so I think it's probably going to come to you, Kim, if you're willing to take this mission impossible, or maybe the committee today. I think doing it today is a good idea, as Dave suggested. But I think we need to produce a couple of options. We, meaning either just you, Kim, or the committee, or some combination. We need to do what was asked for. We need to take as input Aniel's budget, which we now have received today from Barry. It should have come last night to all of us directly. But we have it now, and we have to look at it and say, well, does it reduce the 30% of expenses that's been required by the PNB? If it doesn't, then we just cut the expenses. And I agree, Kim, you cannot cut the utilities at the tower because they're not going to go down. It's either or. Either you pay and or else you're in default. And so we have to cut what you can cut, and that is salaries, and probably we should cut a lot of management. And I also agree with the concept because we volunteered, or people said we need to talk to the SAG people there, and you'll say, no, that's my job, butt out. Okay, fine. But he didn't do it, and today is the day we have to make this 30% cut. And then we look at that, and we say, now is the budget balanced. Given the best information we have in right now, we don't have the donation income, sustainer income, but that's okay. As of today, we cut the expenses 30%, and then we see if it's balanced. If it's not balanced, then we go to another option and keep cutting until it is balanced. And submit and produce those two, send them back to Aniel, and Barry, of course, will have it immediately, and also prepare to give these two options to the LSB. And I'm open to other options, but I think we need to do at least these two things. And I'm done now, I think. Hello?
Fred's next.
Thank you, finally. Yes, I agree with what Dave said and what Ken said. And the reality is we've been living beyond our means. We are not living within our income levels. And what I wanted to point out to Ken and everybody else, piece of reality, we are $220,000 in debt on our this year's central service payments. So we've only paid, I think, 200-something. I'd have to look at the chart. But there's only, so we probably paid $280,000 of the $500,000 that we owe. So things are actually worse. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Grace is next.
Okay. I agree with much of what's been said, most of it. What would be very helpful is to have a list of all of the non-payroll expenses that can be cut, how much, what can be cut, how much it can be cut, and what the dollar figure savings would be, so we can figure out what percentage of a total reduction that would be. So, for instance, yes, we know that community events obviously are not bringing in any income, so that expense should be cut. There may be a possibility of cutting some of the premium expenses, except I think that may be not the place to cut. If we are premium, if we're getting a significant portion of our income, which I believe may be between 35% and 50% from premiums, cutting premiums would not necessarily be a good idea. But that is but there are other places where expenses related to community sponsorships. Obviously, there aren't community events happening, and any expenses related to that, it's a project that's been running at a loss at any rate. from what I can tell. It takes significant staff time to do the, to create and administrate those community sponsorships. So that those expenses should be cut, whatever they may be. And anyway, an itemized list of every possible expense cuts that's not payroll would be very, very helpful if anyone here has done that. And then, unfortunately, this committee cannot work on the payroll side of the expense cuts, and that will have to be done by annual and senior management in coordination with the union. And that's what's going to have to be done.
Grace, all you need to do is look at the budget, and you can kind of tell which might be cut. I mean, we've gone over this about four times already. We're pretty bare bones. I suspect, you know, your ratings is going to get cut, okay, because that's about $16,000 a year. Community events expense, you know, as you can see in the budget, is $5,000. There's not a lot in there that's going to make a difference. There are a few things, yeah, paying staff loans, you know, we've suggested should stop. Consultants should stop, you know. Maybe $20,000 there. You know, this is not the problem, Grace. It's a bigger problem than that. But you don't, I mean, it's itemized
in the
budget.
I'm aware of that, but
it's itemized in the budget. I'm not going to make a list, you know, a special list. It's all in the budget. We've gone over this 100 times. You have my notes. You have everything. So that's not, you know, the premiums are down way below what I think probably reality, but, you know, it is what it is. You know.
Steve to the stack. Ken?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think it may be a little bit too easy to spend money. Like what they need there is two signatures of the four managers, and I think that's Terry Guy, Maggie LaPique, Christine Bosdale, and Annielle Fields. And they need two of those signatures on the given check. Maybe there is a way to constrict the ease with which something is spent. And I concur with the other suggestions there. You know, I think it's clear we have to do something to cut payroll where the money's gone, even going to Leslie Radford's rather draconian standards of a few years ago. And then another quick thought is that we're not really spending time looking at revenue enhancement. And I know it's a bleak landscape for that, but perhaps we could contact some of our better-known, well-heeled contributors in the past and ask them for suggestions of other people that we might be able to talk to. And I'm thinking like Bobby Krieger and Jackson Brown and Ed Asner and Ed Begley Jr. and all these people that have been in the periphery, Lily Tomlin, who have been around there, and ask them if they can suggest some others that they may approach to solicit funds. I think we got to do something to really make an attempt on revenue enhancement. Because, you know, when we cut down to the bare bone, you know, it's just bone marrow after that. And there's just only so much you can cut without really jeopardizing the corpus of the entity. So those things, constrict spending and look at revenue enhancement again. That's it.
Steve, as I've said multiple times, that's for another committee. That's not what we do here. Okay? That's other committees. That's management, whatever. It's not what we do here. Obviously, revenue enhancement is a good idea. You know, we don't do that here. And, you know, in order to attract...
expense cuts?
Pardon me?
We only do expense
cuts. We look at numbers. We look at numbers, okay? And it's like, oh, your revenue is under. You know, your expenses are over. This is what we analyze and write reports on. It's for other committees and management to do something about it. As you know, there are other committees to do that. Steve, you know,
well,
that's...
Tim, one thing I've noted in the 5 years I've been a part of this community is that the committees seem to be really dysfunctional. Now, I'm not going around to a lot of them, but there's a fundraising committee. I think Bella is on that. And I went to one meeting and nobody showed up.
Okay, I understand that other committees are non-functional. That is not our purview here. I am trying to make this committee functional at doing what we're supposed to do, which is dealing with the numbers and presently trying to get some kind of a budget, you know, realistic numbers for the budget. We all realize that it would be great if we could raise our revenue, but none of us see that happening in the next, you know, 6 months. You know, you want to approach donors and fund foundations and grants and all that. You need better financials than we have. You know, you have two audits that say the auditor said, well, we can't audit your organization because the books are too much of a mess. You know, that's not really doesn't make people who want to give you money very happy. We don't have a budget yet. You know, I mean, this is. You know, this has been a long time coming, but here we are. The bottom of the fire.
John in the queue.
I think we've been making some headway into getting financials that are respectable.
Right. We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
John in the queue.
Go ahead, Wenger.
I just wanted to correct something that Grace said, that we couldn't look at the salary. Well, if she means we, the entire community, she's right. But there's six people that have some interest in this that do have access. For example, the treasurer has access to salary. Maybe that's been changed, but when I was treasurer, I had access to the salary. The complete numbers, the exact numbers, no approximations. The four PNB directors, through their inspection rights, have direct access to the salary information. And the interim PNB, I don't know if Lydia is a member of the LSB or not, or of the PNB, but as IED, she's certainly a member of the KPFK community. She surely has access to the salary stuff. So there's six people, or six roles at least. And not only that, the information can be made available plus or minus the $3,000 within the $3,000 interval to all the members of the LSB. So, frankly, what Grace said is wrong. These people can get involved, and some of these people are actually members of the finance committee. So it can be done. We need to do it, and the station is dying. And I know we're supposed to wait for Annual to do it, but if we wait for Annual to do it, maybe the station will die before it happens. So I'm back to my suggestion. Let's get these numbers in and get the 30% reduction done and see if it's balanced. If not, we collectively, the people who can get access to the numbers, do it. We don't need to know the names of the people. We just need to know how much the salary has been reduced in order to make the appropriate cuts to hit 30% and balanced. Two things. Done.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Go ahead, Grace.
What John said is absolutely true, and there is has been PNB oversight and National Finance Committee oversight to some extent, and these cuts must be made, expense reductions must be made, and it is the intention of most of the KPFK board members, PNB directors, to ensure that this is done, and I believe the rest of the national board is also in agreement with that. So this has to be done however it gets done. We can't. There's no money around anywhere to bail out KPFK or to pay or to sustain any significant amount of time with KPFK not paying central services. So it's necessary to get KPFK going in the right direction financially. And we don't have the option of declaring bankruptcy either. because there are bankruptcy clauses. There's a bankruptcy clause in the loan. So if the foundation declared bankruptcy, what would happen is the lender would be forced to foreclose probably on all of our buildings. But a decision, I mean, there's a good likelihood that we would forfeit KPFK because it's KPFK that has a building and that is showing a lack of income to sustain its own expenses. So that's the unfortunate reality. We've got to get the KPFK budget in line, and there is every intention on the part of the National Finance Committee and the National Board to ensure that other stations that don't have balanced budgets also get their budgets in balance. However, the fact that KPFK's income is so much greater means that an unbalanced KPFK budget has a more significant negative effect on the overall finances of Pacifica than the other stations. And we cannot just, there are legal bills that have to be paid on an ongoing basis. NETA has to be paid on an ongoing basis. The auditor has to be paid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are administrative costs, and this foundation cannot sustain a long period of KPFK not being able to make its payroll, possibly, pay its expenses or pay its central services. So expense cuts will mainly, as we all acknowledge here, are going to need to be made on the payroll side of the ledger. And yes, it will be done by management with the oversight, support, push, whatever is needed from national board members and the National Finance Committee.
The PNB has had multiple closed sessions for I don't know how long playing their trying to make the cuts to the staff. So that's where that's being handled. They don't apparently care about the rest of the budget, but that's what the PNB has been meeting in closed session for a number of weeks.
And
so,
how would you
know
that?
Sort of,
and how would you know that, Kim?
Gee, I don't know, Grace. You know, I don't know.
Because that's not necessarily true.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
If you have private information, where are you getting it from?
Yeah, Grace, that's all you care about. Where am I getting my information from?
Don't tell me anyways. What I care about. I'm saying you just said something which is really not true. So,
uh-huh. Okay.
But what I said was true. PNB does have the intention to ensure that there is a balanced budget at KPFK and that there are significant expense cuts.
Okay, well, here's something you can suggest, Grace, is to get Lydia to make her budget, because I believe that, as Ken said, we're going to have to ask for lower central services, okay? That's going to have to be part of this, okay? So, you know, there's a lot in this mix here.
John and Nikhil?
Go ahead.
So thank you, Grace, for that elaboration. I appreciate that. And a quick comment about Lydia making the budget. The fact is, when Lydia calculates the central services, she's going to look at the budget of KPFK in order to calculate our share of the central services. If we do the layoffs that Grace just told us about, that the PNB is working out, that will reduce that will change our budget and our profitability, et cetera, et cetera. And so that information will be needed before Lydia can make her budget for the national office. The whole thing is iterative. So I just want to make that elaboration. But I think both these things need to be done. Lydia should do the best she has, given the budget she has, and then the PNB will make those changes, and then the budget will change, and Lydia will make another budget with a recalculation of the central services. I'm done.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it works. I think, you know, people need to know what the national office needs, not just what they want. Because that hasn't been done for a number of years. And I'm not the only one that thinks that, you know, a decrease is going to have to be considered. But we don't know what the national office needs. And that's what's first. Anyways, look, we're going
this
around
committee.
In circles. We're just, you know, Ken, what would your suggestions for what we should do? I mean, you know, I want to get out of here.
Let's say we work as individuals or small teams, you know, without anything official. And we'll come up and then raise our hands at the LSB meeting. And let's say it's me and three other people, or say, well, I got three options for us. Here's a budget that came from the general manager, and we recommend the following, A, B, C, D. And it's going to put us, the final result of each option will be this. And, you know, make a presentation or something like that and get the LSB to agree on something that we can then forward to the PNB. So whether or not Alan Beek's budget is appropriate or unrealistic or whatever, it's a finished product. I haven't really looked at it and evaluated it, but I guess Kim has. But in any event, okay, great. So it's just, I agree with on, and I think there's other people here who have the same viewpoint. I don't really care about the protocol that's written in the bylaws. If you're talking about the existence of the organization, I don't want to get into a long speech, but it's like analogous to somebody lying on the ground and he needs CPR because he stopped breathing. You know, well, wait a second, I don't have the proper CPR machine and he needs to have a pillow under his head. You deal with what you have to deal with. So, yes, there's a protocol and a path for the appropriate approval of budgets laid out in the bylaws. It hasn't worked. We have to go and do a pirate version, and we have to come up with a budget and throw it up to the NFC. And I'll tell you the truth, say the NFC is out to lunch and the PNB or the national office is out to lunch. You still got a station. You have to run the station. You need a budget to do it. You can't have the general manager deciding to change the curtains because he thinks we need to change the curtains. We need to make a budget that is maintained and run by the general manager. Regardless of what's supposed to happen, this is what we should make happen. And we could do it at the LSB, at the LSB level. And that's all. I think it's very negligent to pedantically say we're not allowed to do that. I can't save this person because I don't have the right pillow to put under his head or whatever it is. You know, you may have to amputate some legs. You may have to do whatever you have to do to keep the person alive. And the same obligation goes to the maintenance of the station. Maintenance of the station. There was one of the members of this committee. I don't want to pin it on him, but he said he made a very good point. Everything comes up on the table. You put everything on the table, and you don't say, oh, no, I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that. First, you put everything on the table, and you take the most pragmatic solution available. You know, you do whatever you have to do. If we have to go in and take over doing the radio programs and being the general manager, then that's what we have to do. You have to do what you have to do, and everything goes on the table, everything. Nothing should be kept off the table. That's all. So I think, I'll get together with, let's say John Langer and Fred, and we'll see what we can come up with and so forth. And maybe it'll be a futile effort, but it's not going to be that painful. It's just numbers on a page. So a little bit of theology here, so I got to turn on. Okay, but that's all I was trying to say. And then we present that at the next LSB meeting. You know,
I don't want to keep
pounding on Angel. You know, he's negligent. We are trying to do his job. I don't like that.
I don't like when, you know, he's getting paid to do a job and where it's falling on our plates. We're not battling what he's presenting. He's just not presenting anything. You know, he's not presenting a solution. He's going like, well, I don't know what to do. There you go, $800,000 in the red. That's the best I can offer. That's it. I'm done talking. Thank you.
Are you suggesting that that you make personnel cuts, Ken?
Well, I would confer with, let's say I get together after this call and talk with John and Fred and Steve or whatever, and we do whatever. And I'm making this, you know, I would suggest personnel cuts. You know, I like, you know, maybe we have to go back to all volunteer radio with patchwork, quilted crazy programs about, you know, and cut out this semi-professional thing we have going with the strip programming. Whatever we come up with, we come up with. But we're not doing anybody favors, keeping them employed and going out of business. It's not helping anybody. And, you know, and I don't want to get into my opinions about the value of what work we're getting out of our staff. But it's like I say, every option has to be on the table. Every option has to be on the table.
I agree, Kim.
Can't just say, no, I can't do that. That's outrageous. So, you know, let's try to come up with something and let's see whatever else somebody comes up with. And Kim, if you could work with somebody who's on the LSB and so it gets presented by an LSB member to the LSB, whatever program or budget you come up with, forget about what's supposed to happen or didn't happen and too bad it didn't happen. So, okay. What's the budget starting from this? There was a new epidemic and it killed half the people on staff and half the people on the LSB. Come up with a budget now. Start. You know, there's nobody to go to and nobody to lean on and nobody to blame. Just come up with a budget. And I know I'm just saying that's what Alan Beek did, so I consider that appropriate. He's not that he's trying to overload or go past an existing working facility or proper thing that's going on. He's saying that this is silly. The ship is sinking, and nobody wants to lower the lifeboats, or nobody wants to even take a look and see how far away are we from land. So, you know, he came up with a budget. It's probably not bad. I'll have to look at it, but and we can't even say I don't know, because that's just part of the situation. We don't know, and we'll never find out. We still have to come up with a budget. I'm proposing that I'll work out something, and just as an LSB member, regardless of this committee or whatever, I'll work with some other people and we'll try to come up with a budget.
Well, Ken, have we not left everything on the table? Is there things that have been excluded so far from the table? You insinuate that we haven't looked at some things.
Of course, there's things that have left off the table. You know, I could think of the, just think of the most outlandish thing. The most outlandish things would be couple underwriting or going partners with a college or here's a good one. Broadcasting Alex Jones or Milo Sinopoulos, whatever his name is, or you know, just whatever. Don't take off the table. You're on the table. Say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that now. You know, so forth and so on. And, you know, telling the, telling programmers, oh, you're going to have to do this all yourself. You're going to have to do all the technology, send us a tape, and we'll broadcast it. You can't afford to pay for a board op to manage your phone calls live when you're doing the interview. You'll have to figure that out yourself. I've done interviews just using Zoom and recording it and so forth. And, you know, then they can send the recording in and it can be responsible for the best quality sound they can get and so forth. I just don't take it off the table, you know. Or we could be broadcasting Trotters. Now, I remember in AM radio, you used to listen to the – they would, you know, the – Potters is, forget that the town that's near Covina or Pomona, where they have horse racing with little carriages. They call it the trotters because the horse is only allowed to trot. You pronounce, you know, broadcast that. We'll see if we get an audience, you know, or try to play. Here's a very obvious thing that we're not doing is try to negotiate playing popular podcasts that are broadcast elsewhere, see if we can get them for free or low cost. We already know people want to listen to.
All right, Ken.
No, I'm just saying, you put it on the table. You can look at the history of Pacifica. We used to have lots of organizations that would put on shows. Like we still have Common Cause with Ralph Nader, but we used to have a lot more shows like that. I don't think we have a Sierra Club show or a National Lawyers Guild. We do have one. We have the National Lawyers Guild, but I don't think we have Positions of Social Responsibility or, we don't have a Black Lives Matter program if there is such an organization. The whole thing, let me just say it one more time. You don't take anything off the table. You put it on the table, you take a look, then you say, okay, well, you know, let's agree on what we're going to do.
Okay.
I'll probably ask, personally, I think Fred and Steve Kaiser and John Wenger, it's got to be a grumpy old man, you know, otherwise I can't work.
Okay. Okay. Well, look, I think this is way out of the purview of the Finance Committee. You can do whatever you want. I certainly am not going to condone it from this committee. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want. But, this is not anything that I would have anything to do with. My opinion is that we don't have a budget. We're not even hearing from management. I mean, Barry's here. He has, you know, nothing to say. The GM isn't on here. The PMB is doing their own thing. I just say we leave it and, you know, see what happens by, you know, we don't have a budget. You know, we send it. I mean, we can send it to the NFC. The expenses are more or less. We can nick a few things off, take off the ratings, take off, you know, I haven't even seen if there's still money that they want to spend on consultants. Obviously, that would be a zero. But that's, you know, maybe $20,000. Not going to change much. But otherwise, there's, you know, the listener support doesn't make sense to me. Michael Novick and I can probably come up with something that we think at least makes sense. But other than that, we can't go any further.
John, in the queue.
Okay, just one last thing I have to add. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to intentionally exclude Mike Novick, but he's up the old guy too. But I just want to make one fast statement. I have a fireplace in my house, and last December 25th, I sat there all night, never closed my eyes, and Santa Claus did not come down the chimney. So I don't want to just sit and wait.
Did you blink, Ken? Maybe you got in there in a blink.
No, I don't. Well, you can pass all the things you want, Ken, with all your suggestions. It still takes somebody to do it. And that's not going to happen any quicker than Santa Claus is going to come.
Kim, may I speak?
So, yes, go ahead.
One of the things I spoke of was basically taking the Mission Impossible. So whether it's the committee or you, Kim, and I suggest you do it because you got the figures under your hand. I suggest that you do what you can in terms of cutting the various expenses you can see, and then you look to see whether we've got the 30% cut in expenses. And then you look at salaries, and the aggregate total of salaries, extended salaries plus the benefits, and you multiply that number by 0.7. That's a 30% cut. And you don't need to know the names of the people. You just multiply this is using a broad axe. You cut off 30% of the total
salaries plus benefits, and then you submit that as a balanced budget meeting the requirements of the PNB. And then you look at, and that's step one. You've got now this option, that's option one, budget one. And then you look at it again and say, is the budget now balanced? If it's still not balanced, you look at the salary aggregate again, and you calculate the number it takes. Maybe it's another 20%. And you cut that off, and then you say, budget's now been cut by 50%, and now it is not only meeting the 30% requirement, what budget one does, but budget two meets the balanced requirement. You do that. You don't need to know the names of a single employee and their salary. You just do that, and we submit that as the output of the committee, and I suggest that the committee authorize you to do this work. And we've made a little bit of progress, and now it's up to the LSB and the PNB to do their own thing. And maybe some LSB member would like to, as Ken suggests, take your proposals to the LSB. I'm done.
Okay,
at least we're doing something. At least we're doing something.
Tim, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I just want to let you guys know that the current budget that was presented to you has a 5% cut across the board on everybody's salary, and there was 4 layoffs. So that's included in this budget. I just want to let you know that.
Okay. Does it meet the 30% requirement, Barry?
It's not all the way 30%, no, but it makes it. It's making a big difference.
What percent does it make? It's a reduction of how many percent?
It's
if not 30,
maybe,
what?
Maybe 18% around there.
18% down, so we got 12% more to go for Kim for option number one.
Correct.
Well, first of all, let me just say, I don't know where that 30% number came from, so it doesn't mean anything to me. What you need to do is get a balanced budget. You know, maybe 25%, maybe 40%. I don't know, because that number is just arbitrary. It doesn't relate to anything.
In order for you to get a balanced budget, you have to cut half the staff and cut essential services down by 25%.
Whatever, Barry, whatever. Whatever. What I'd like from you is to get a real good idea of what our sustainers are and what our website income is, so we can make a informed listener support number. That's what I would like.
Can I cut central services off too, 25%?
No. What I just said, what I'd really like, what we really need right now, which is a big unknown, is to define our listener support with a fund drive chart that makes sense. Okay, we don't have that yet. Barry, please don't interrupt me. Please don't interrupt me. I will be finished soon. What we really need is the sustainers and some documentation of where that website income is coming from.
Okay, like I explained to you before, the website income comes from Terry in his report for MEVA, DonorBox, and PAYA. That's where it comes from. I am going to reduce the number of what the average daily goal is for the fund drive, but that just is going to make your net profit worse. Okay, so I will do that. I'll bring it down some more, and then I'll resubmit it.
What we said was $15,000 per day for the year at 126 days. If you want to go 128 days or 130 days, okay, whatever. But not going from $7,000 to $23,000. It is just not our collective experience of how to make a budget. Okay? But
just remember that we could come out of COVID by January, okay?
Okay. I'm not concerned about COVID, okay? COVID, these problems started long before COVID. You were in a dumpster fire March 6th when you had to stop your fund drive day after 90 days in the first half of the year, okay? This was a long time coming. You had all those bequests last year, you know, and you just spend. This is not COVID. This is, you know, a long time of no budgets and lack of oversight.
All the expenditures that we spend that I see are going through the operations of the station. I don't see any.
Yeah, rates. Well, that's not what I saw as well. And some of that has been cut back. But whatever.
Tremendously.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, tremendously. Yeah.
Not tremendously.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
We're still not able to
make your payroll that we can see and make all of your expenses.
We're going to make payroll on the 15th.
You're going to make payroll, but whatever. So, any other suggestions from anyone else? I mean, should we just leave this alone and just wait and see?
Bella, to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. It has been, I think, maybe an hour since I have been able to speak. I was put on mute. I have to call twice. I just sent everybody what I feel the areas, the three departments that we need to cut, and that comes to 40%, which is what I originally submitted close to a year ago to this committee and to the PNB when I prepared the salaries against gross revenues to show why was it that we were going into a deep end. No one seemed to be commenting on it, but all of a sudden everyone is saying right now that we need to cut our payroll. I began talking and showcasing that a long, long time ago. Please look in your inbox, and the areas that I feel is necessary for us to cut and so it's 40% total reduction, 15% on personnel costs, 15% administrative, and 10% on development. Within those three departments is where the areas of the expenditures lie that we can tackle, okay? So that those are the departments that we need to concentrate on to look what expenses are within those departments and cut. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I've done that, and what you have, this fourth draft budget, well, I haven't seen the fourth draft, but up until then, I have done all that work, Bella. I'm at where I think we're at, okay? Nobody else has contributed anything in the first three drafts. We are where we are now. Okay.
You have not looked at what I sent, Kim. You have no idea what I'm even talking about.
Well, what can I say? I'm not going back. You know, somebody else wants to.
Okay, you don't want to hear it. Okay.
Okay.
We seem to lose a lot of time on this committee. And we know that the general manager is not on our side. We know
Bella,
that very
well. You're
not
recognized. You're not recognized. Since we're running out of time, I want to pass this motion that was on the agenda. Speaking of cutting expenses, the motion is in the 2017 motion that the business manager gets paid to attend these finance committee meetings. This came up on the Friday meeting when I asked why monies were going to the business manager. And he said that in 2017, this committee passed a motion that he should get paid to attend finance committee meetings. I would like to assume that now.
I never heard such a stupidity.
Can I get a sec? Any comments?
Fred.
Bella.
And this is Dave.
Do I have the floor?
I heard Dave. I thought I heard Ken, but maybe I heard you, Fred.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I heard Dave first.
Hey, John in the queue. John in the queue, please, Kim.
Okay.
I think Fred went first.
Okay, go ahead, Fred. Okay.
Yeah, we probably, from my memory, we probably did pass that motion in 2017. And I think in 2018, we moved the I keep on hearing this rumbling noise in the background. Bill, would you mute your microphone? In 2018, we moved the finance committee meetings from 7:30 in the evening to 4 in the afternoon to accommodate the business manager. So my understanding, Barry, is that you get paid hourly, not salaried. I may be wrong on that. But
No, you're correct, Brad. You're correct, Brad.
But, you know, we specifically moved this finance meeting to 4 in the afternoon to accommodate not just Barry, but the general manager. And I'm not going to make any other comments on that. It doesn't seem to me to have made much difference. It seems Kim's motion, as far as I'm concerned, is law.
Fred. Can I interject something here? So you mean to tell me all the meetings that I have attended that I haven't made a difference in the progression of the finance committee?
Well, the main person we want to talk to is the general manager, and he's not present.
No, we're not talking about me.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disparage you, Barry. I mean to disparage that the fact is that we're not getting, we haven't gotten a lot of answers, and the only person who can answer a lot of our questions is the general manager. But in any case, I don't disagree with Kim's motion. We're meeting in general working hours, and where the business manager should get paid extra for meeting with us, I leave that open to the committee. I'm finished, Kim.
Next. What is the cue? We don't know who's next.
Kim, are you on the phone? On the
okay. Who is next? Dave is next.
Yes. Okay. This is Dave. Well, I don't know if it's appropriate for us to ask the question, but I looked at this like a nickel and dime thing. The basic question would be, how much is Barry making per month to sit on a finance committee meeting for a couple hours? And if it's not a significant amount of money, I don't even know if it deserves our attention. However,
It's not. I only get paid twice a year. Dave.
Well, I'd like to hear your answer, Barry, but I just wanted to finish first.
Okay,
I'm almost finished. So I was just going to say, if it's not a significant amount of money, I don't think it deserves really any attention by the committee. However, I will say that I know that we're in a desperate financial situation, so if it was significant, maybe some people will think that it needs to be cut, and that's all I wanted to say. I don't know if it's appropriate for us to ask the financial numbers on the open call and stuff. So anyway, that was it. I'm through.
Who's next? Okay, I wanted to say something before you proceed. Some of the finance committee meetings do go for 3 hours sometimes, so that takes away from being with my family. So I just want to interject that the amount of money is really small. It's not that amount. It's not that big of amount. So I don't know. That's all I want to say.
Who's next, and then I'll go.
Well, who is next in the queue? You're keeping the queue.
Who's next, and then I'm going.
Okay, you have me in the queue, don't you?
I think
you're up, John.
Well, I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't hear that.
I think you're up.
Okay, if I'm up, okay, very quickly. If attending the finance committee is part of Barry's job and Barry's on hourly, then I believe Barry should be paid for his work.
So I support paying. I oppose Kim's motion. I support paying Barry for his hourly participation in this job. I'm done.
Is Bella one? I thought I heard her on the stack.
Yes, thank you, Kim. Very thoughtful of you. I did not know that this motion was passed in 2017. I'm actually shocked because it is the purview, it is within the contract, the employment agreement of both the general manager and the business manager of their attendance and their participation and collaboration, specifically with the finance committee. But I fully agree with David and the spirit of what he said, and I agree with John. Okay, but it's both sides. Thank you.
Okay.
Also, I want to keep in mind that
go ahead.
I have not missed the finance committee meeting for the 4 years that I've been here. Never.
This is Dave.
And with a point of information.
Go ahead.
This is a motion to pay in excess of the salary. In other words, the business manager works from 9 to 5 and he attends after 5. He gets time and a half. Is that the thing, or is this like an addition to the a flat salary, or is this added to his? Yeah, it's a point of information. I don't know what we're voting for.
Okay. Pass. This happened when you were treasurer in 2017. So I don't know what your intention was. I only know when I asked Barry. Barry got, you know, besides his salary, what was in was $5,000 year to date. Last year it was somewhat less than that. The year before, you know, it seems to me that
that's not going to change your budget problems.
I couldn't quite hear. I can't hear you, Tim. You're coming in and out. I just get an answer from Barry. Is this an added expense to your regular salary, or is it like if you're
It's for the hours that I attend the finance committee. I'm paid for the hours that I attend the finance committee meeting. Okay.
Yeah, but now you're attending. What I don't understand is if you're attending from 3 to 5, which is part of your regular working hours, is that also billable?
Right.
So also billable as an extra fee. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. You know, we've asked you for profit and losses for about, I don't know, 3-4 years, and you haven't been able to give them to us. We've asked you for
No, Kim, now you're telling a lie again, okay? Mm-hmm. I have provided profit and loss statements to that finance committee meeting for the last year, okay? So don't say things that are not true. I told you about that before. Don't make accusations that are not true.
Okay,
Kim, could you read the motion again, or did you email it out?
It's in the agenda.
Okay.
Look, you know, I don't think this is appropriate. I just don't think it's appropriate to, you know, to pay.
Kim, you're dropping out.
Okay. Well, I can call back in a minute. That's really what takes. Is that? Can you hear me?
No, you're cutting out. Just hang up and dial back in.
Kim, you are dropping out badly.
Yeah, you're just not there at all.
She's hung up.
Well, we could have some more discussion if anybody else wants to say. I think I said what I had to say, but we might as well use the time and not just listen to static.
I wanted to send everybody to the email I just sent out. It's in your inbox. 40% reduction in the three departments that are critical. You might.
Yeah, you covered that already.
Kim's back.
Yeah, you're repeating. You already said that.
I'm back, everybody. I'm sorry. I hung up and got a better line.
Good.
Sorry. Yes. I just, Bella, we've passed that. Anyways, I just think it's inappropriate to pay somebody double time for, you know, that they're already getting paid for on their staff position. You know, I mean, really, he's attending this meeting, but, you know, we didn't even get a budget until, you know, I asked him. You know, there's a meeting to get our budget together. I've done, you know, it was four drafts, and I still had to have a special meeting last Friday in order to go over what the Finance Committee went over already two or three times. So, yes, you're here, Barry, but, you know, like, you know, this is the fourth draft, and I don't even know if all the changes have been made that need to be made.
Okay.
Look,
first of all,
can
I say something?
Sure.
First of all, when we started this budget process, we all wanted to balance budget, okay? And then you wanted to cut back the salary, I mean the revenue, by $15,000 per day for six fund drives for 121 days, okay? And then I come to the realization that there is no way in the world that you're going to have a balanced budget by doing that particular step that you want to reflect for the future projection of this budget. There's no way in the world you're going to have a balanced budget unless you cut central services, unless you cut half of the staff or cut the staff to 50% working time or whatever you're going to do. There's no way in the world. You're going to have a loss. So that's what I've been trying to do. Cut it down as much as possible to reflect what you want. Okay? And then when I did that today, because like I told you before, I was working on the audit documents that for the fiscal year 2019 for the auditors. And so I have to get the budget done at 2:30, and it was a little late because then if I would have sent it to you, you would have said, oh, well, we didn't have time to review the budget, Barry. You always have some complaint about me all the time, and I don't appreciate it. You're very unprofessional, and I don't like it, okay? So that's the time I feel about the whole situation. I'm trying to appease you, but you give me no recognition at all. You have a
John.
You have something negative to say about me, and the same thing with Aniel, because you know that's why he doesn't come because he doesn't want to take all the
scrutiny. Wait a second, let me find it.
That's it. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
John into the queue. John
Go
into
ahead.
The queue.
Go ahead.
Kim, I don't understand the thing about being
yeah.
double paid. If he's on. If he is being paid hourly and the committee meetings are basically 3 hours, then he's being paid for that one time, those 3 hours, and that's all. There's no double payment involved that I see. And with regard to Barry, I think it's pretty clear from some of the things that have been said by Ken and Michael Novick and myself and also Dave Johnson and a lot of the things that Kim has said is we need to get a balanced budget. You're trying to keep us from having to lay off a bunch of people, but it's clear that we're $800,000 basically in the hole. Somebody made that claim here, and you've got to produce a bunch of budgets. One of which has got to be balanced, even if that cut requires a 90% cut in salaries. If we have to get those numbers,
okay, John, I can do that. I can cut the personnel cost, okay? But you have to get approval from the union first. That's the caveat. So you have to get approval from the union to do that. Okay?
We just need the numbers so we can look at them. It's Aniel's job to do the negotiation with the union, and it's up to the employees to tell Aniel what they want.
Okay. All right.
Look, Barry, this came up because I asked you what you had gotten $5,000 for outside of your payroll, which I don't see. I mean, I only saw what was, you know, outside of your payroll. and you said it was for attending finance committee meetings. So
I did not receive $5,000. You're lying again. Okay? You're
okay.
Not telling the truth.
That's what I saw in the general ledger. That's what I saw in there.
Kim, let's focus on going forward. Listen positive and focus on going forward. Whatever happened in the past, from today forward, let's do it in a reasonable way. And so, and Dave is right. If it's a small number like $5,000 when our problem is like $800,000, that's a small thing. Let's just focus on saving the station going forward and pay him for his hourly work. 3 hours a month seems like a reasonable expense for doing what he can do. And it's up to us to communicate to Barry what we need. Anya will tell him what he needs from Barry, and we, the finance committee, will tell Barry what we need from Barry as well. And he just said he can do it. Okay, well, that's great, Barry. Go ahead and do it. I'll be really happy. And don't mail it to anybody, single point of failure. Mail it to the entire committee, at least the people who are interested. That would be me and Ken and Dave Johnson and Steve Kaiser and I think basically everybody who's still here at this meeting. Well, I don't know.
Okay,
well,
I'll do another revision.
It doesn't help to attack each other, please. We need to work and help each other and cherish each other in our efforts.
I agree, Steve.
Yeah, and Barry, thanks for your good work. I know I appreciate you and always have. And I think everybody does.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah. And Barry, I appreciate you too, because you're staying pretty darn calm in some challenging times. And so I really stand. I'm not going to stand up because I'm too tired to stand up. But okay, maybe I'll stand up and I'll sit up here and clap for you.
Okay.
You're doing a good job.
Can we take a vote on this?
Sure.
Any
opposed? I'm opposed.
Wait a minute. Can I ask a point of information?
Uh huh.
Well, I just wanted to confirm that Barry was only being paid for the hours beyond his normal daily checkout time. In other words, if he is being paid 8 to 5, it was only being paid at the 10 meetings beyond his 5 p.m. And I just wanted to confirm that that's the situation and that's the way it would be going forward.
Dave, I'm only paid for the hours that I attend the Finance Committee meeting. Any time between that, I do not get paid.
No, I just didn't understand. Somebody raised this issue, Barry, and I just wanted clarification. Somebody asked basically if you were being paid for your normal 8-to-5 salary plus extra money while you were at the Finance Committee meeting, if the meeting transpired during your normal working business hours. Did I make that clear?
No, you're talking about extra time beyond his 40 hours or not, and that's a clarification
that's
we
correct.
Need.
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I wanted to confirm, whether or not that's the situation or not.
No, I do not get paid for extra hours through the payroll.
Okay, well, I don't quite understand. In other words, if you're working from 8 to 5, and let's just say we had our meeting at 12 noon and it went for 3 hours, you would not be billing for attending the Finance Committee meeting in that scenario. Is that correct?
That's correct. When I attend the Finance Committee meetings at 4 o'clock and they go to 7 o'clock is when I get paid for those.
Okay.
After.
So your normal time of day that you're finished with your regular hours is 4 p.m. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. That clarifies it as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. So, should we take a
vote?
Yeah.
Can you state what exactly it is again, please, briefly?
Yeah. The motion is to rescind the motion, to rescind the 2017 motion that the business manager gets paid to attend Finance Committee meetings.
Ew. Well, then the answer to that depends on whether it's during the working day or after the working day.
That's correct. That's a problem.
Okay, then vote
no. Yeah, I will vote no, because the motion is improperly
structured in the first place.
My understanding is, I'll say this again, is that the business manager is a management position. If he stays an hour later, he can come in an hour later the next morning. Okay? That's my understanding of how management works. He doesn't punch in the clock. He's not on union time. And, in fact, the union, the staff people, they get comp time when they're on the boards. Okay? All that time they're sitting in the LSB, they get comp time for that. So I would assume.
And they also get seniority pay, too.
Pardon me?
They also get seniority pay.
I can't understand whoever was speaking.
That's Barry. I'm just making a comment that the people that are on union, they get seniority pay.
Okay, whatever. Look, whatever. Vote it down. By all means, please, let's just take this vote and move on, okay? Because we're not doing anything productive. Okay, so Grace Aaron, how do you vote?
Abstain.
I can't hear. Is it my line?
Abstain. It's your line. Everybody else hears it.
Okay. Let me call back once more, please. Bear with me. I'm sorry.
Hi, this is Janine. I've joined the call. I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, Janine, yeah, you came in at a good time because we're now voting, and it's been a trying time. I'm all tuckered out from this meeting.
And Janine, we're almost meeting's almost over.
What is the vote on?
To rescind a motion the LSV made in 2017. That directs the business manager to be paid for the attendance of finance committee meetings. And the reason it's a problem is because he has a normal working day, and sometimes the finance committee meeting is during his working day, and other times it's after his working time.
Kim is back.
So
Kim is back.
I am back. Okay, can we take a vote before my phone goes bad again?
Sure. Count the votes. Let's request
Grace
the votes.
Grace Aaron.
She abstained.
Please let the
is
person.
Is she on the call?
Yeah, I'm here. I abstained.
Okay, Ken.
Abstaining.
Alan Beek, he's gone. Fred Blair.
I abstain also.
Bella. Bella?
Abstain.
Okay. A lot of brave souls here. Dave Johnson?
I'll abstain.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
I'm going to be different, and I'm going to vote no.
Okay. I vote yes. I believe Janine Rohn is on the phone. How do you vote, Janine?
Well, I'm unsure of if voting no means he doesn't get paid for attending the finance meetings.
Correct. Voting no means he does not get paid extra. Right.
I'll abstain.
Point not extra. It's added.
Voting no means he gets paid. The motion is to rescind the thing that he gets paid. Voting yes would rescind it. And he wouldn't get paid. Voting no, he continues to get paid.
Right. You're right. So, Janine, are you going to vote no?
I'm going to vote no.
Okay. And Michael Novick?
I guess I'll abstain.
Okay. And Paulina? I suspect she's gone. And John Wenger?
No. It fails 1-3, a lot of abstentions.
Okay. Yep, fails 1-3.
Point
yep.
of, is Bella muted? Because she had emailed that she was muted at some point.
She's not muted by me. I don't see her muted on here.
Did you say Summer? Who's Summer?
I said I don't see that she's muted on here.
I think they're talking about Bella, John.
Oh, Bella. Okay. I thought I heard Summer as in the...
No. So I don't see her muted. So whatever, you know, we're done. I mean, her vote wouldn't change the outcome. Pardon me? I don't... What do you want?
Michael, I'm going to make a quick comment in response to something that Barry said earlier.
Yes, please.
I think the point of coming up with a balanced budget is that that would be a good document to take to SAG-AFTRA to demonstrate why some cuts in payroll were necessary and or in personnel. And so to the extent that we can demonstrate cuts outside of what affects the contract that are still additional cuts beyond that are needed from union contract personnel, that's the basis on which you can go to the union and say, look, here are the books, here's the budget we're trying to come up with to stay within our means, and we've cut this, 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 and this from, you know, administrative expenses, from management, from, you know, other incidental expenses, but we still can't narrow the gap between our anticipated revenues and what we're spending, so we have to make personnel cuts. That's what, you know, we were not able to demonstrate the last time this was necessary, and as a result, the union filed a grievance. So if we can show to the union the cuts that we're intending to make beyond the ones that are under the contract and that those are still not sufficient to stay in business, then that makes the case to the union about why those cuts are necessary. So if you can come up with, or you and Anil can come up with what those cuts that can be made outside of the union contract to get us closer to a balanced budget based on realistic income, that's what you need to take to the union to deal with this question.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, some months ago, I have been repeating this for a while. Anil
well,
is
then,
not
please,
an
if you've been repeating it, please don't repeat it again. We have to move on, Bella. Please.
Anil
you
is
know.
Not. Stop interrupting me. You mute me, and then you interrupt me when I get to speak.
I did
stop.
Not mute you.
Yes, you do. You have something going on with Fred. Between the
yeah.
two of you.
Okay.
Between the two of
you.
You
weren't muted.
Muting
you
me.
Weren't muted. You weren't muted, Bella.
I need to speak. Stop.
Okay, go
you,
ahead.
This is not
by
your
all
private
speak,
program.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. Anil Fields is not in a position to negotiate with the union as he has no contract. His contract expired. It is the work of the PNB and the IED to negotiate. And everybody keeps pointing to Anil. Anil is in no position to do the negotiating bidding for KPFK. He wants us to sell the building. That's his desire. Thank you.
Okay, so does somebody want to put forth a motion or just sit on this until the next meeting? Obviously, I'm pretty sure everybody will say they don't want to meet next week. You know, or the week after, or, you know, just let this die. I have no idea. What is the disposition of this committee?
This is Dave.
Go
yeah,
ahead,
John,
Dave.
John and Q.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Well, we need to meet again. It's just a question of whether we meet next week or the week after. Thank you.
Wenger?
If Barry can commit to getting us the budget to all of it in all of our individual mailboxes one day before next Wednesday, then I think we should meet next Wednesday. But we need an
why
advance.
Why one day?
Well, at least one day. I mean, it might be hard. 2 days is better. We need to think about it, but we need something.
I mean,
okay. I mean, this budget is completely unfinished. We still don't have sustainers and documentation of website and listener support. I keep saying this, and I don't, you know, hear, you know, people's concern about this. You don't have a good number for listener support yet.
And Ken and I are going to work on that with possibly a couple of others. We've already said we're going to take that on as a volunteer operation. So we'll see what we can do. If we fail, we'll get back to you, and you can cancel or postpone the meeting further.
Okay. Well, you know, should we take a vote on whether we want to meet next week or the week after?
The week after.
I say the sooner the better. It's not like we have a whole lot of time. It's not like the station is not on fire.
I move that we meet every week on Wednesday until it gets resolved.
Yeah, I would support that.
I'm not going to be doing that, but, you know, people are free to meet and I won't come. I have a commitment to go to the Jackie Lacey vigils, and I've missed too many of them for these meetings that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I agree with Michael.
Okay, well, I'll take a vote, and then you still, you know, got to decide what you're going to do, you know. If you don't want to meet, then you have a half-assed budget, and, you know, this is, you know, silly. This is just ridiculous.
I think that Michael and Bella should go to the BLM meetings and come back in 2 weeks when we're still working on this. But we should meet next week.
Well,
I am not going.
Bella, you're not recognized. I'm going to take a vote who wants to meet next week, and then I'll take a vote who wants to meet the week after. Grace Aaron, what do you want to do?
Yes.
Grace.
She's not around. She's not around here.
Okay. Ken, what do you want to do?
Okay, next week. Actually, wait, I've changed that. No, for next week. 2 weeks.
Well, should I take a vote for next week or the? I have to take this vote first, and then we can do it for 2 weeks, okay?
Okay, so no for this.
Okay. Alan Beek is gone. Fred Blair, what do you want to do?
No.
Bella?
No.
Dave Johnson?
Yes.
Steve Kaiser?
Yes. Whatever the committee decides, I'll be happy to perform to.
Do you want to be a yes or a no?
It's a yes.
I'm going to pass. Janine?
Yes.
And Michael Novick, you're a no. Pauline is not here. And John Wanger?
Yes. It's 4-4.
Well, you know, yeah, it's 4-4. It fails unless I say yes, because I haven't voted
yet. Point of information, please.
We're in the middle of a vote, Bella. We're in the middle of a vote.
And I have a point of information regarding this vote.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The point of information is that if John...
Come on. That's not a point of information. You're making a statement, not asking a question.
If Ken and John feel that they can complete their mission,
that is not a point of information, Bella.
That is the point of information. It's a question. It's a question to Ken and John. If they
okay, a point of information has to do with a question of process. Period. That was not a question of process. Well, I'm in a jam here because I'm the determining vote, and I don't really know what to vote. I don't know. I mean, the people that voted no would they want to vote in 2 weeks? I mean, would they want to meet in 2 weeks?
Kim, my suggestion on that is this. Let's let Ken and I try, and Anya will either say yes or no, and we'll get this information or not. If we don't get it, we'll just say,
okay,
we can't get
so
it,
I'm going to abstain, so this motion fails to meet next week. So
okay.
Do people want to meet in 2 weeks?
Sure, why not? The buildings, the station, the Pacific is on fire. Why not just meet?
Okay, so let's take a yes on whether you want to meet in 2 weeks.
I think you can. There's not going to be any dissent.
Yeah, ask for opposition.
Any objection to meeting in 2 weeks? Okay, so we'll meet in 2 weeks. And, you know, we'll see.
I'd be recognized.
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Ken, I called to adjourn the meeting.
Well,
I second.
Okay. So to sum up, we're just going to let this lie for 2 weeks. Is that correct? And Ken and Wanger are going to fool around with the listener support and try and get a better number?
This day.
No, I'm asking Ken and Wanger.
Okay.
Ken?
Yeah, Kesara, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, Dave, you wanted to say something?
Yes. Did I understand that Barry was going to work on some more numbers and come back with further reductions in the payroll, et cetera?
I have no idea.
I believe he did say he could do that. We didn't ask him for a specific date, but he did say that he could do that. And I'm not sure if he actually made a commitment to do it. And I was asking him, saying, I want to meet next week, if he can give it to us at least one day before next week. Next week on Wednesday.
Yeah. So I was just going to, I don't know if he's still on the call, but I would suggest.
Yeah, Dave, I'm still on the call. I will try to flash some more payroll.
Great.
Thank you. That answers the question. Thank you.
Yeah. And Barry, if you get it going, feel free to mail it out to us so we can think about it, because it just bears on everything.
Okay, I will.
Well, it doesn't matter. The PNB is doing their own thing, so they don't care what we do here on any of this. You know, just saying. No.
That's probably right. It's probably right, Kim. But I like to. I'm putting 3 hours into this today, and I like to get a little bit of return on my time investment.
Okay. All right. So we'll meet in 2 weeks. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry it was long again.
Are we adjourned?
Bye. Yes.
Yeah, we're adjourned. We're adjourned.
2 weeks.
Thank you, Barry.
Hey, John, I'll call you in a little while.
That's great. Okay, I'll be looking for it. Bye.
Yeah, Ken, I want to talk to you too, Steve.